always wishing you the best right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we love bringing you this radio show right here on Progressive Radio Network. We've been doing it since the initiation of this station, and we have other radio shows that have been on really since the 1970s, believe it or not. Quite amazing, but true. So we'd love to bring you this information. We also love to hear from you, and you can get in touch by email or by, well, different kinds of ways, just by going to naturalnurse.com. There is a contact button there. There's also a way to leave comments. There's also a phone number, 800-829-0918, if people like phones. And there's emails and Facebook, The Natural Nurse. That's another way to get in touch. And in terms of listening to our show right here on Progressive Radio Network, there are also many ways to do that. One excellent way is if you like apps. I'm not saying I like apps, but I know such a thing exists. If you like apps, then you can download the Progressive Radio Network app, and that is free anywhere you download apps. And I imagine if you do download apps, you know what that means. Also, you can actually call and listen to the archives of the show, and that's at 701-719-0884. So you have any kind of way you'd like. And what I'd love to ask you is to go ahead and post that in any way on your social media. Just post The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can see a link for the show right on Progressive Radio Network so that you, if you think others might like to listen to the content that we have here. Today, we're so happy to have as our guest gerontology specialist and author Cassandra Hill. Her book is called Aging with Essential Oils. Cassandra has a passion for enhancing the quality of life of the aging population as well as their caregivers. Cassandra graduated with a Master of Arts in Gerontology after completing a thesis on how does place of residence affect depression among seniors. She was recognized as VIP Woman of the Year by the National Association of Professional Women. She is on the advisory committee of the Alzheimer's Cure Foundation and also serves on the Governor's Advisory Council on Aging for the state of Arkansas. Cassandra also owns and operates a private wellness consulting business where she helps individuals on their path to healthy living and supports the use of natural therapies such as essential oils to help her clients lead a better life. This will be posted on our archives, but you can call Cassandra at 877-365-8648. Or find her at CassandraRHill.com. That R is important because if you leave it off, you go somewhere else. So it's CassandraRHill.com. Thank you so much for being with us, Cassandra.
Thanks for having me, Ellen.
Now, I know you're traveling, and I really appreciate that you are still joining us, and I want to tell you that that line that you're on is really nice and clear, so thank you so much for providing us with that number. Now, for today's show, let's go back in time a little bit to where you were a young girl, and how did you get involved with a population, the gerontology population?
You know, I was in college, and honestly, I thought I wanted to be a nurse, and so I started out in nursing school, and when I got to my clinicals, I thought, wow, I can't deal with this, you know, because it was just really disheartening for me, and I think it was because of my age. I was straight out of high school, and so here I am, this young kid, and I'm seeing all this illness. And I thought, well, you know, I don't think I want to do this. And my advisor thought I should take some social work courses, and I did. And I was like, okay, I can do this. I'm still helping people, but, in a different way. And so when I did that, I ended up getting an internship at the Area Agency on Aging. And I thought, oh, okay, this is great. You know, I really like working with the older people, and this is really enjoyable. And so at that point, I started going to the library more and doing more research. And that's how I learned about gerontology, because before then, I didn't realize that gerontology existed, that it was a major, you know, something that I could make a career of. And so I learned about it and started looking at colleges, and just so happened that University of Arkansas, in which I'm from Arkansas, had a master's program, and I thought, well, this is great. And I applied and was accepted, and the rest is history.
Well, that's a nice sharing because, you know, we have younger listeners also just starting out on their path. And believe it or not, people who are in their 50s and close to retirement also who consider a brand new life path. So thank you so much for sharing that evolvement for you was organic, and the fact that you discovered, first of all, your first premise is you want to help people. So you thought about nursing, and I'll tell you, as a nurse, that is a fantastic path to help people. And then you said, well, you know, you veered off a little bit because of, you know, some people don't want to do blood and bedpans and really ill people all the time, right? So, and you found that you could be just as helpful by moving more towards social work. And then you actually found a very specific specialty with gerontology. So that's a wonderful evolvement.
Yes, and it was just a blessing. And I think another thing that helped, my grandmother on my father's side, me and her always had a very close relationship, and she was my only grandparent that lived on into my adulthood and saw me finish college and everything. Unfortunately, the rest of my grandparents died when I was much younger, and so I think that caused me to have a different type of relationship with my grandmother, just because my granddad on my mother's side passed before I was born, and my granddad on my dad's side died a little before my preteen years, and it was the same with my grandmother on my mother's side. She died a little before my preteen years. And as I got older, especially, I have a strong family history of diabetes and just heart conditions, cardiovascular conditions. And I think that also changed my outlook on aging as well.
Well, you did write a thesis on how does place of residence affect depression among seniors. So that's a wonderful title. We don't want to revisit the entire thesis, but perhaps you can just give us some, you know, outcome results. How does place of residence affect depression among seniors? That's a great question.
You know, most people dread going into what they often call the nursing home, which...
You and I don't know how old you are, Cassandra, but I'm old enough to remember it was always called that, you know, an old age home or a nursing home. And it seems like that entire phrase has been replaced now with something else, help living or something like that.
Yes. Well, now the proper term is skilled nursing facilities.
Thank you.
In which people don't totally embrace that, you know, for most older people, they'll make their kids promise, please don't put me in a nursing home. And so that stigma is there. And unfortunately, a lot of times we don't distinguish the different type of facilities that are available in long-term care. And so skilled nursing facilities as well as assisted living facilities are bunched in a group together. And they are unique in the services that they provide. However, for older adults who enter these facilities, in part due to the stigma that they already have associated with these facilities, within 6 months to a year of entering these type of facilities, do develop clinical depression. So we're working really hard on taking those stigmas away. Like I said, now nursing homes, the proper term, skilled nursing facilities, and we're working on making these environments feel more home-like. Some of the newer facilities you go into, they don't look so institutionalized. The colors are more vibrant, and you don't see those stale, just depressing colors anymore. Many of the facilities have dining options that make you feel more like you're at home, and just various culture changes that are happening in long-term care that's happening with that. And also, I think it's incumbent on all of us, whether you're an older adult or if you're younger and you're caring for your parents, to just have some realistic conversations on long-term care and what that looks like, and possibly even go visit some facilities so you can have an idea of what it looks like and you're not basing your thoughts on stigmas.
That's a good idea. Now, even to this day, is there any kind of rating system or a way to help you evaluate if you were going to be helping an older person decide on which one of these facilities they should go to?
Oh, yes, definitely. Medicare.gov is a great tool for families. And you just go on Medicare.gov, you click on finding, and which, believe it or not, on that website they have nursing homes. But if you click on find nursing homes and you just put in your city and state, it will give you a list of providers in your area, and those providers, they have inspections that are done every year, should be done on an annual basis, and they are rated. And it's a 5-star system, with 1 being the worst and 5 being the best. Of course, it's just like a hotel, you know, the 5 stars, that's where you want to stay, and 1 star, maybe not so much, but you could go on that site, and not only does it have the star rating, but it also has information on the deficiencies of that facility, you know, the areas of concern, as well as things that they're doing well in.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know you personally and your private business at Cassandra R. Hill, and people can find you there, you focus on what we might call natural interventions, such as essential oils. Now, within the rating system of those kinds of facilities, is there anything about food, and I don't mean, you know, up to government standards, I mean truly natural food. Is there any such rating so you could find out? Because I've actually been at some of those recently in Florida, and I have been at places where the food is excellent. Some even have organic and local choices, because wise buyers find that they actually can beat the price and do that in a cost-effective way, and where there are salads at every option, and they're not just making, let's say, you know, dried-out frozen chicken burgers of some kind. So is there any kind of rating for the food true quality, or is it just based on meeting government standards?
Unfortunately, at this time, it is based on meeting the government standards. There is not a rating for food. However, what I do recommend for families that are looking into facilities, just do a test drive, just like you would a vehicle. Just pop up. Don't plan a scheduled visit. That way they know you're coming and they're expecting you, and they'll be more inclined to change some things, maybe just to sell you. So just do a pop-up visit, and in that pop-up visit, make sure it's during a meal time, and taste the food, because that is really, really important. When a person does transition to a facility, yeah, that's their new home. That's where they'll be having meals on a daily basis, so that really is important to ensure that the food is to their liking and that it's fresh options. And another great thing about doing a pop-up visit and having a meal at that facility, you're able to interact with other people at the facility and get feedback from them. Do you enjoy being here? What do you like about it? How are the meals? Because that's really important. I find some seniors who enter a facility that may not be the best fit for them as far as their dietary needs, and they end up losing weight because they choose not to eat. And that's not something we want, and we want to avoid it as much as possible.
Well, in your master's review, How Does Place of Residence Affect Depression Among Seniors, who would you say fares best, those who are able to stay home with relatives or those who are in one of those kinds of facilities?
Definitely the ones who are able to remain in their home with loved ones providing assistance, or whether they're receiving services from an agency, they definitely cope better and have more happiness overall in life, and just generally are more joyous and have a better quality of life. And it also impacts their health as well, because there is such a strong link between our mental and physical health, you know.
Well, that's very interesting. So I think people should probably take that into consideration. Now, what about, and you probably know about that, I mean, it does get costly, because if you were to keep an aging person at home, sometimes it requires nursing care or, you know, home health aid care, and it depends on if that's covered.
Yes. That is so very true. That's why I encourage anyone out there listening, if you don't have long-term care insurance, it is definitely in your best interest to have long-term care insurance. Life happens. We don't know what a day will bring. And that long-term care insurance is designed to help cover some of these costs for an older adult to stay at home, because we do know, even the government realizes, it's in our best interest to keep an older adult at home, and that's why now there are so many programs designed for seniors to stay at home. You have the program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. That is, it varies from state to state, but most of that, if not all of it, is covered through Medicaid dollars, and because we know that it's more cost-effective to keep a person at home, and it's just a matter of having the right resources in place. Because
That is interesting. So it's kind of a win-win, because what you just shared is it's more cost-effective to keep them home and better for the client to stay home as well. So that's, you know, I actually didn't know that.
Yes.
So that's That's amazing. That's what, you know, that's kind of what you call a win-win situation, I would say.
Yes, it is. And, you know, unfortunately at this time, what we call PACE, Programs of All-Inclusive Care, they're not in every state here in the U.S. yet. But if you're fortunate enough to live in a state that has that and you're in a county where that's available, definitely something worth checking into if you're an older adult and you're looking to stay at home, because it's really a great program. And it's
what
designed.
Is that called? Share that with people. What is that program called again?
Program of All Inclusive Care for the Elderly.
Okay, I never heard of that, so this is great. That's why we love doing radio shows, because we always learn more. Program of All Inclusive Care. Now, you are, you know, recognized as a VIP Woman of the Year and by the National Association of Professional Women. You're on the Advisory Council of Alzheimer's Cure Foundation, and you're also on the Governor's Advisory Council on Aging for the state of Arkansas. So in those positions, have you been able to get these programs in some places, such as perhaps the state of Arkansas?
Arkansas does have a PACE program, yes, we do. Serving on the Governor's Advisory Council on Aging for the state of Arkansas, it's really such an honor. Honestly, after I finished graduate school, I moved, and so I lived in Texas for many years, and when I did come back to Arkansas, you know, it's my first time working back at home and helping to serve older adults in my state. So it was really a pleasure for me to do so. And when I was asked to be on the Governor's Advisory Council, it really was an honor. One of the challenges we have in Arkansas, which is something that I'm a huge advocate in improving, is senior hunger. Right now, Arkansas is number one in the nation for senior hunger, and that's something that I'm not happy about. I feel like there should be a lot more done to eradicate senior hunger, and not just in the state of Arkansas, but throughout the country. However, senior hunger is one of those issues that primarily affects our southern states, because those states have higher rates of poverty among the older adult population as well as the general population. And so that's something I've definitely been advocating for and contacting the National Foundation to End Senior Hunger and thinking of ideas of ways we can eradicate senior hunger.
Well, we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and I want to remind you, you can get the app at PRN, go to any app store and get the Progressive Radio Network app, or you can listen on the phone, 701-719-0884, or, of course, on the archives and live at PRN.fm. Cassandra, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to delve into your focus on natural therapy for yourself and your clients. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss jojoba, the miracle plant of the desert.
Jojoba is spelled J-O-J-O-B-A, but is pronounced according to its Spanish origins. The jojoba plant grows in the American Southwest and the Sonoran Desert in Mexico. The jojoba is a large bush-like plant resembling mistletoe. It can reach a height of 15 feet and can live from 100 to 200 years. The Sonoran Indians have used the oil pressed from the jojoba beans for centuries. Father Juniper Serra, founder of 21 missions in California, noted in the early 1700s that the local Indians were using jojoba oil for treating sores, cuts, bruises, burns, and as a diet supplement, to soothe skin from sun and wind burns, as a cooking oil, and even as a beverage.
The importance of jojoba as a cash crop was proclaimed in 1935. But it was not until 1974, when the killing of sperm whales was banned, that the government began to study jojoba oil in depth as a substitute for whale oil. The National Academy of Sciences concluded jojoba oil has a radically different chemical structure than any other known oil. Most oils break down or turn rancid. Jojoba, on the other hand, is hypoallergenic, non-toxic, never turns rancid, and does not break down even under high temperature and pressure.
The University of California at Riverside did a study where they cooked 27 batches of popcorn in the same heated jojoba oil. The last batch was just as perfect as the first. These unusual properties are unique to jojoba oil because, chemically speaking, jojoba oil is not really an oil at all, but is a liquid wax. Its composition is almost identical to sebum, which is the oil secreted by human sebaceous glands to help to protect the skin from the environment.
Jojoba has a myriad of usages. The cosmetic industry takes advantage of its compatibility to human skin by adding it to shampoos, conditioners, moisturizers, and many other cosmetic products. In medicine, jojoba can be used directly on rashes, cuts, and psoriasis. It may also be used as a lubricant for artificial hearts. Jojoba contains a natural appetite suppressant, which can be used in weight loss products. It has no known side effects. In industry, jojoba is known to be a superior engine lubricant and will cause a car to run 20 to 30 degrees cooler when added to the crankcase oil.
So, if you are interested in a miracle plant from the desert, reach for jojoba in your natural medicine chest.
And welcome to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we love to hear from you. Visit us at naturalnurse.com or on Facebook at Facebook The Natural Nurse, Ellen Kamai. And I am Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. So happy to be with you today. And we have as our guest Cassandra Hill, and that's CassandraRHill.com to find her, or 877-365-8648. We always have that posted as on our archives because I know some of you listen as you're traveling and don't have a way to write things down. So please don't cause any accidents. Just go ahead and look at the archives and you can click right on that. And she has a beautiful book available called Aging with Essential Oils. Let's talk about your book, Cassandra, and thank you so much for putting it together. What inspired you to offer this book? And I believe, is it free? I thought that I saw it free somewhere.
Yes. If you go on Amazon, if you are a Kindle user, it is free. If you don't have Kindle, get Kindle. But if you don't have Kindle and you're not a Kindle person, you can download it for $2.99. But for all the Kindle users out there, it's free to download on Amazon.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful thing. So basically, it's called Aging with Essential Oils. And I did Google it and was able to easily find it right on Amazon. Now, why did you choose that name and what's in that book?
You know, I chose the name simply because I wanted to reach my older adults out there who are growing older every day and to get them thinking about essential oils, because I know as a gerontologist that as we get older, certain conditions can develop, although they're not a part of normal aging. Certain conditions can develop. And with those conditions, you have various symptoms. And I thought, let's address this holistically, because oftentimes I find that most older adults are on so many medications and the side effects are just horrendous. Sometimes the side effects are just overwhelming for them to manage and cope. And I thought, well, this would be a great way for them to address some of the symptoms that they have through essential oils.
That is so true. Unfortunately, many people really suffer with a huge number of side effects because, for one thing, so many of them are on a massive amount of medications. I think every doctor behooves it to review medications that seniors are on and discontinue or decrease any that can be. Because what happens, I've noted as a nurse working with many elder adults and even younger adults, is that the cardiologist gives them cardiac medication, and then the gastroenterologist gives them medication for their stomach. However, they're having a stomach problem because of the cardiac medication. And then all of it is making them not be able to think really well. And even though they have not developed any kind of dementia, it's a side effect to their medication. But then they're put on a dementia type of medication. I mean, it's just actually disgusting. And also not prudent patient care.
Yes. I wholeheartedly agree, and it's really sad, you know. Like you said, they're going to so many providers. You got your cardiologist, you got your nephrologist, you have your gastro. I mean, you have all these different doctors. There's no communication between the providers at all. And, you know, you're older, and it is harder to manage all of this. You know, it's just a lot. Even as a younger person, it's a lot. I know with my grandmother, that was one of the things I was really in focus on. Okay, you're going to oncologist, you have your primary care doctor. There is going to be a link between these doctors, because you find a person that ends up, that may be on 10, 15, 20 medications. And it normally there isn't a good reason for someone to have that many medications. It just isn't. If there was some dialogue between these providers, okay, cardiologist, yes, you're on this medication because of having a heart condition. However, this medication is causing upset stomach, you're experiencing nausea, whatever. Let's figure out what we can do about that instead of just putting you on a medication for your stomach issues, you know, because it just gets to a point where it's too much.
So let's talk about the aromatherapy then. So what are some of the conditions that you could use aromatherapy oils? And, of course, even with them, you do need to be somewhat concerned in terms of drug-therapy interaction. Although with aromatherapy oil, some does get through your skin, but there's definitely less concern in terms of interaction.
Yes, definitely. There's way less risk, little to no side effects, you know. You definitely, one thing I do want to stress with older adults using essential oils, especially if you choose to apply them topically to your skin. You know, as we age, our skin is a little more fragile, more thin, so be sure to use a carrier oil. curios like coconut, jujaba, but some type of coconut oil as a barrier if you choose to apply topically. That is a safety precaution for sure.
Let's say that again, great. Because that is absolutely true. Because when you buy true, good quality essential oils, like you can find out about by contacting Cassandra at CassandraOrHill.com, because she's been educating herself, wrote a book about it, and has been looking into the use of essential oils for such a long time, particularly with people who are older, that these are not perfumes, even though they often have a lovely scent and sometimes more like an earthy scent. But you're not doing it for the perfume aspect. You're doing it for a therapeutic aspect. And if you use it on the skin, a lot of them are so concentrated that you have to first add them into a very mild oil, like Cassandra pointed out, something like, you know, even jojoba oil that we just did a natural medicine chest about on this show, or almond oil or coconut oil or some other oil. And then you put the drops of the essential oil into that mild oil, and then you apply it on the skin.
Yes, that is really important. And, you know, honestly, I do that even at my age. I use a curio oil. So it's great for all ages. However, for older adults, it's imperative. It really is imperative. You have to use that curio oil because, like I said, as we get older, our skin is a little more fragile, and we don't want to irritate the skin. So definitely use a curio oil if you choose to apply topically. There are some great oils out there that are good for so many uses. A great oil to start with would be the lemon oil. It's a great detoxer. I love, as soon as I wake up in the morning, just drinking me some water with no more than two drops of lemon, and it just helps start that detoxification process. First thing.
So how would they do that? Now, if somebody was in a facility, you know, would they have access to essential oils? Is that something that could be left there, you know, if their loved one visited, or is that only for people who are actually on their own at home or in their loved one's home?
It's definitely something that could be used in both settings. However, in a facility, if you're in a skilled nursing facility, that's something that would need to stay locked up just because of the risk of other residents coming in contact with that, because typically in a skilled nursing facility, you might have people with dementia, you know, whether it's Alzheimer's or vascular or just the various types of dementia, who may wander. And so we definitely want to make sure that they're safe as well. So typically, if you're in a skilled nursing facility and you desire to use essential oils, that's something that would need to be locked at a nurse's station or in a med cart, just to prevent anyone who wouldn't be able to understand what they're consuming, not have unwarranted access to those oils. However, in assisted living, it would be a little different, you know. And, of course, at home is something you can have complete access to at all times. But I would recommend.
I will say, in terms of the use of essential oils and aromatherapy, I know from the nursing perspective and from working in many hospitals and being on board as a consultant as they set up natural therapies within hospital settings and nursing home settings, that essential oil, the use of essential oil, has made great inroads, even in mainstream. So it's not like if you wanted your loved one to use it, you're going to automatically be turned down. There's a lot of precedence. But as Cassandra R. Hill, and that's her website, CassandraRHill.com, is pointing out to us, you would need, if someone's in a facility, to maybe get it signed off on by the doctor, actually written in as an order on the med cart. And I've even seen that, you know, that in people's charts, which is really great. I mean, it's a tiny little step in a progressive direction.
Definitely, and you're right. We're a whole lot more progressive now, and we see the benefits of using essential oils in healthcare. We have some of the biggest providers using essential oils and having great results. One provider, hospice, is using it nationwide. All of their locations are using essential oils, and it's just really
great. Wait a minute. Is it legal or whatever for you to give us the name? Because let's say somebody wanted to do this for their relative, and they could look up that this, you know, widely known place is using it and use that to talk their facility into allowing it.
Sure. That provider is Silverado Hospice. They are using essential oils nationwide in other locations, and they're having great results with that, just really great results. And they do have information online regarding the benefits they're seeing with their clientele using that. I do know that, in which this is published online for anyone to read, less anxiety among their clientele, improve coping mechanisms, and just in regards to dealing with the death and dying process, but just having really outstanding results with that. And not only them, but hospitals throughout the country are using essential oils, and it is growing more. And when we look at the cost effectiveness of it, it makes sense. You know, our healthcare system, we're spending so much money in healthcare. And what's really unfortunate, we're spending so much healthcare dollars here in the United States, and other countries are spending less and having better results. So we need to look at the challenges that we have in our country and let's address them. And I believe one of the ways that it will be addressed is through taking more preventative measures with our health.
I so agree. We're going to take another little break right here, Cassandra Hill, and that's CassandraRHill.com, with some excellent advice that she has been sharing with us about natural living, quality of life as we age, program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. You may want to look into that and get involved with that, how to research essential oils, which we will continue to discuss when we come back, and her book, Aging with Essential Oils, available on Amazon.com. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Get your daily dose of happy each morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on PRN. LOA Today is expanding to appear on PRN now 5 mornings per week, Monday through Friday. I'm Walt Thiessen, the host of LOA Today. The way you start your day sets the tone for the rest of the day, so start it happy. We explore the realm of positive psychology, the law of attraction, and the power of positive thinking, and we have a heck of a lot of fun in the process. You'll find yourself smiling each morning. That's LOA Today, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on PRN.
Hi, everybody. I am Karen Hartglass, the host of It's All About Food. Join me every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch all of my shows in the archives. You can find my archive programs at the Progressive Radio Network website, or you can call my personal archive phone number to hear the most recent 5 episodes of It's All About Food. Here's the number, 1-701-719-0885. Here it is again, 1-701-719-0885. Learn about how we can solve many of the world's problems today and do it deliciously here on It's All About Food.
PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and you can always contact us at naturalnurse.com. We love to hear from you. And you know, we have hundreds. We actually have thousands of shows, thousands, because Dr. Zamperone and I have been doing shows about natural health, and we have written 15 books about natural health, and we give classes and workshops daily. I have one coming up in a couple of days called Career Choices in Natural Health. You can find that at naturalnurse.com under calendar. And you can register for it. And by the way, there are CE credits for nurses, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, registered dietitians, and clinical nutritionists. Or you can take it. You don't have to be a professional to take it, and you can just get a certificate that you took it. And that goes to your registered herbalist certification if you're someone who's interested in working on that. So we have a vast array of projects. We have classes in Chinatown going on shortly. We have outside herbal identification workshops where we go out and gather plants and make them into medicine. We've even had people make their own essential oil, but for that you'd have to buy a distiller. It's not, you know, as easy as making a tincture. But in any event, get in touch at naturalnurse.com. Look at calendar to see all of the up-and-coming classes, some of which you can do right from your home and get all kinds of credits and certificates for joining us. Today's guest is gerontology specialist and author Cassandra Hill, and she has discussed with us many things, such as her serving on the Governor's Advisory Council on Aging for the state of Arkansas, looking into the program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. You may want to do some work on that. And we'd like to bring you on board as we continue our show today, talking about her book, Aging with Essential Oil. So welcome back, Cassandra.
Thanks, Ellen.
Now, you talked about lemon as being a great one for, let's say, beginners to start with. But even that, lemon is not usually one that you would use in the evening, right? Because some things are more, you know, wake you up and give you energy, and some things are more relaxing.
Yes, definitely. That's why I recommend beginning your day, lemon. It's a great choice. For the evening, I would choose something, like you said, a little more relaxing, sedative, like a lavender. it is so calming and relaxing, and it just helps you wind down from the busyness of the day. And it's really good and just relaxing and helping promote some rest for you. It's one of my favorites.
Yes, that is a nice one. So, you know, I grow lavender in my yard. What's the difference between me just going out and, you know, picking some lavender leaves and smelling them? Actually, I think that's a good idea, too, and using a lavender essential oil.
Well, with the oil, you know, a pure essential oil, you know, there's a certain process it goes through. It's really highly concentrated, whether it's cold press or steam. But when you're talking about a pure essential oil, it's really a highly concentrated oil. And inhaling that, whether you use a diffuser or if it's something just as simple as putting some on a warm towel and inhaling, however you choose to utilize the essential oil, it is very, very effective in promoting the relaxation, or even if you want one thing. When I initially started using essential oils, and I started with lavender, what was one of the choices I started with for evening, because I was having difficulty sleeping, and I didn't want to get a diffuser because honestly I was a little hesitant about the essential oils, honestly. And so I was like, well, I just put a drop on my pillow. And I just could not believe how well I slept, you know, and not taking any medications. And so with the oil, you're getting a highly concentrated to where, and as I previously mentioned, that's why oils are so cost effective, because literally one drop versus how many doses of a medication to achieve sleep.
What about also that it's so mild and gentle, and not that there are no negative effects. There always can be negative effects, even with natural remedies. We do have to point that out. But certainly the risk-benefit ratio is phenomenally better.
Yes, definitely, because, Ellen, I'm here to tell you, I was on a medication to help me sleep, and I was able to go to sleep, but I would feel so groggy. I would feel so, so groggy that most of my day I wasn't as productive as I would have liked to have been. And so with the oils, it's quite different. You know, I feel like I have my life back. You know, it just, the benefits just were so outstanding. And like you said, the side effects were minimal.
Or none. Well, some of the side effects could be, just let's throw this out as we end. When you put an oil on your skin, you know, a lot of people eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Some people are severely allergic to peanuts. So that can always happen with anything, that an individual has a sensitivity reaction. But there's certainly no reports in the literature of someone putting an aromatherapy oil or an essential oil on their skin. They may have a sensitivity or they don't like the smell, but I don't think there's any necessarily deaths linked to it like there are with pharmaceutical drugs or even any terrible long-term effects. Someone might have a little skin rash, but, you know, most people have no negative sensitivity reaction. So it's certainly something you can try. You could do like you did, Cassandra, first put it on your pillow or just on a piece of cotton and sniff it, see how that goes before you even apply it to the skin.
Yeah. Just Yeah, great suggestions, Ellen, and I highly recommend it. And like I said, when I first started out, I was a little hesitant, really thinking, okay, you know, really? Because honestly, for me, I had a background as a gerontologist, had been a gerontologist for so many years before I learned about holistic modalities that I thought, well, if this really works, why isn't it so widespread? You know, why isn't it in mainstream?
That's a good question, and we're not going to have time to investigate that, but I think in a word, the answer to that is politics.
Yes, and that's what I learned. And I'm just here to tell you, if you're out there and you're a little hesitant, what can it hurt? You have nothing to lose because most essential oils, in terms of cost, they're pennies. Pennies. When you think of what it costs to purchase essential oil and the amount that you use, and you break that down into how many uses you can have with an oil, it's pennies.
Well, with that, Cassandra, we do have to bring our show to the end. I want to thank you so much for being our guest right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. If you'd like to contact Cassandra, 877-365-8648 or CassandraRHill.com, or just look for her book, really easy to find, Aging with Essential Oils. And thank you so much for joining us today, Cassandra.
Thanks so much for having me, Ellen. It was a pleasure.
And thank you, listeners. Don't forget to get in touch at naturalnurse.com. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, hoping that you stay healthy.